Greenside, the IGA podcast.
Also, Mike McCoy, the 2013 U.S.
Zach Johnson, now a two-time major champion after becoming the winner of the 144th Open Championship.
All right, welcome to Greenside, the IGA podcast. Clint Brown here with you. Got guest Tyler Johnson. Tyler, how are you this morning?
Doing great.
Well, thanks for coming on the podcast. I guess before we dive in, why don't you introduce yourselves, tell the listeners a little bit about your background.
Yeah, so I'm Tyler Johnson. I grew up in Belle Plaine, Iowa, so about 30 minutes west of Cedar Rapids, a small town of about 2,000, 2,500 people or so. Went and played golf at the University of Northern Iowa, and then after that, went down to Kansas City for a job, was there about 10 years, and now I am living in Mason City, Iowa, and been here for about 4 years now.
Nice. Some of our listeners might remember you from the 2009 IGA Match Play Championship. Tyler, it doesn't seem like it's been that long ago, but I checked my facts and it has been. I guess before we get into kind of what you're up to now, what do you remember from that week at TCI there in Polk City?
Yeah, so it is crazy, you know, looking at it's been what, about almost 15 years now. Yeah. pretty crazy to see, because I think I was a junior in college when I won that tournament. But it's definitely a tournament I'll never forget. And there's actually, you know, a little story behind it is I stayed at one of my college teammates' grandparents' house at the time. And we had about four guys in that house, I want to say. Two of them were playing at the University of Northern Iowa as far as teammates. And then there was another guy that was playing in as well. And I can't remember if he qualified for it or not. But anyways, there was four of us in that house. And it was sort of funny. You know, I kept advancing. I kept advancing on. And like the next day, there'd be one less guy. And then, you know, a couple days later, there was another guy. And then like I ended up being there just by myself with his grandpa and grandma. And I'll never forget, his grandma made me a nice little fruit platter on the way out for breakfast. And I went on to that final day and ended up winning it.
Yeah, I had to look this up too. 3-2 over Jeff Panik there at TCI. Tyler, do you remember like a match or anything or a shot that you know, I hit one under pressure that I really needed? And I know it's like you said, it's been 15 years ago, but was just curious about that.
Yeah, it is crazy. I remember playing a couple Iowa State players. So like those, a couple of those matches stand out in my head. And I want to say there was one, I want to say it was maybe the semifinal match. I think it was about the 16th hole. I remember I was one up at the time. And I remember making about like a 35-foot putt on that 16th. Okay. Hole to go two up at that time. So I knew that was like a big moment for me, especially playing against that Iowa State, very high pedigree player in the state. And I knew that putt, you know, meant a lot for momentum for me just to finish off that match.
You bet. Well, you got quite the adventure going. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that, kind of how it got started and from what I can tell is really taken off.
Yeah, it's sort of taken on a life of its own. So back in July of 2023, I sort of started a little venture called Charlie Golf Co. And it really came out of me taking my three-year-old son at the time to the driving range with me. And it came from my dad. He always cut down clubs for his grandchildren. So like on the first day that he got to meet his grandchildren, so like, you know, a day or two after they were born, he'd come up to the house at the time or to the hospital, and he would have either a pink grip club that he cut down from old clubs. And usually it was a putter of some sort. So it was either a pink grip or a blue grip. And he'd always have, you know, a set of clubs ready to go for his grandchildren. So he brought, you know, his club. So my son's name is Charlie. That's where the company's name came from. He had his own set of clubs that he always took to the golf course or the driving range with me. But at the time, we never had a golf bag for them. So I remember leaving the driving range that night in July. It was probably early July, middle of July. And I knew I needed to try to find a golf bag for him. So I went online, started looking, and there was nothing that really fit my eye. What is out there right now is, I feel like, is too, I don't want to say complicated, but like just too much for a 3-year-old. Okay. So I really looked for it's like a Sunday style carry bag. It's sure. Very simple, just, a strap, a pocket, and, you know, a 4-inch opening to fit, you know, three to four clubs, and made out of wax canvas and leather. So I really wanted that style of bag. I just wanted something very simple for him to use. So I reached out to a manufacturer, created a design, reached out to multiple manufacturers at the time and went through that vetting process of like who was able to do this. And then, you know, receiving samples and sending feedback and then getting production samples. And, you know, it worked out great because obviously I have a, you know, perfect, model for the bag. Mm-hmm. So like I was able to really adjust it to that, 3-year-old size, you know, and the biggest thing was the strap of the bag, sure. You know, making sure that was skinny enough, narrow enough to fit on a 3-year-old or 4-year-old shoulder.
Tyler, what did that process take quite a bit of time as far as kind of the trial and error and different samples and production of that stuff? Or did you kind of find something that worked right away?
I got pretty lucky. I had multiple samples come on over. There was one that came over pretty quick and I knew it was going to be close. And that's okay. The one I sort of ran with. And like the whole timeline was, okay, Iowa the idea came up in July. Mm-hmm. I created just a simple like landing page where there was a wait list, you know, where you enter your email and you get 10% off, like, these things sure. are coming soon. And that sure. was before I even had I don't even know if I had the sample at that time. So
right.
I had the idea. So I just, you know, started doing that. And then, you know, I get a few, I started really going on Twitter and trying to build an audience on Twitter and Instagram. Mm-hmm. Those were the two main platforms that I use. I started getting a few signups here and there. And then once I got the samples, I want to say it was the end of August, I ended up placing an order for 150 bags. And at that time, it was a big risk for me. Looking back now, not as big of a risk, but at that time I had, 25 people on the wait list, something like that. And I ordered 150 bags, thinking, okay, well, if I get these in, I think I can sell them. Maybe, I have no idea, but we're going to give it a shot. I placed that order at the end of August. I got the bags in the beginning of November, and the waitlist grew like tremendously during that time. There was a viral tweet that happened, and it ended up adding like about, 700-800 waitlists.
Oh, wow.
People to the waitlist. So that was at the end of October. And I knew at that point, people are interested in it at least. I had no idea how they would sell. In November they sold out, right away. So it was great. Now I'm playing the catch up game with the inventory.
There you go. I was going to say, I saw on your website, you started with 150 and you're like, well, we'll see if those will sell. So it sounds like, you know, by late fall, you were pretty much at those already spoken for, and you were thinking, well, we're off and running, aren't we?
It was a whole catch up game. And what I do with the waitlist is it's sort of a first come first serve. And I use that as an email list to let people know, hey, 24 hours in advance, this is going to be the day, the time, here's how many are going to be available. And it's basically first come first serve. And I've done 3 drops so far of them and they've all sold out, very fast. So I'm still trying to play that catch up game and get the inventory caught up. But, I'm bootstrapping it as I like to say, I'm funding this all by myself. I really don't want any outside money coming in. I'm trying to find a way to do it. I'm learning a lot along the way, but I also do think that there's something to be said about the bootstrapping, the slow, there's something to be said about slow, sustainable growth.
Sure.
I would love to have it, all these bags come to me, right away and fulfill the wait list. Is it possible? Is there a way to do it? Yeah, but I would have to either take a loan. I hate debt, so I don't want to really take a loan. I'm trying to keep rolling on over, you know, from the drops to purchase more inventory and try to get caught up that way. So trying to play that strategy and trying to stick to my guns on that.
Cool. Where all have you sold to? Is it all over the country? Have you sold some all over the world? What's that looking like for you?
So yeah, it's been all over the country. You know, when we put the shipping labels on, it is fun to see like where they're coming from, but you know, a lot of California, Texas, the Chicago area, Northeast Florida, like really all over the place. And then we just started selling, to Canada. So there's been a couple sales to Canada. Other than that, I still have to figure out the, you know, the distribution shipping and how to ship to, the UK would be the next area that I look at for international, but really trying to take care of United States right now and Canada.
Okay, cool. You kind of mentioned this a little bit, but just was kind of curious, kind of looking ahead, you know, what's kind of the near future looking like for this and maybe kind of a long-term, maybe, you know, hope or some goals with that. Do you have a kind of a number in mind? Like, hey, I'd like to sell X first and then go from there. What's that looking like?
Yeah. So near term, like we have bags coming in hopefully by the end of this week. And so I think I have 400 coming on in here, and then I have another 300 coming in March. And then, orders are being placed for, you know, end of March and April, try to get caught back up with the inventory. But as far as numbers are concerned, I mean, I ran some projections and like put together a business plan.
Sure.
I would love to sell like 2,500 golf bags this year. It might be possible. Sure. We have over 3,200 people on the wait list right now. Obviously knowing not everybody's going to buy from that wait list, but it gives me a general idea as far as the demand that's out there right now for, these toddler golf bags. So yeah, I mean, I would love to do that, in the near term, but as far as the future, like what I want to do with the company, I'm looking at it more as I really want to own the niche of the toddler golf space. So, And it's really more of, you know, moms and dads just playing and introducing the game to their kids and, having that connection with their parents. Like I remember playing with, obviously growing up with my dad, at a very, very young age and with my grandpa and having that connection to the game and, you know, with your parents. So I think it's very, very important. And then obviously me having a kid, sort of, you know, it's one of those things where I would like to play golf with my kid, you know, in the future. And I just want to introduce him to the game of golf. So, you know, it's pretty crazy. I go back to my dad's, and my parents' house and like, they still have my little club, from when I was, you know, two years old or whatever. They still have my putter laying around. So I think it's cool. And that's what I sort of wanted to keep going with, Charlie Golf. But the next step is, trying to introduce, a toddler set of golf clubs. I've been working on that, you know, over the last couple months. I think we're getting closer. I have had some samples come on in, of a custom design clubs, that are, you know, weighted for that 2 to 5 year old. So it would be that very first set. And what I would love to see happen is, you know, in 35 years, that person has that set of, you know, Charlie Golf Co., toddler golf clubs sitting at their, you know, their parents' house. Sort of having that, having that same memory that I have, like when I went back for Thanksgiving, I saw my putter still there. I just think that's, you know, really the goal of it all.
Awesome. Look like you have three different designs. You want to kind of talk about kind of those, you know, like different colors, but they also have different names that are pretty special to you as well.
Yeah. So, currently right now we have three colors. So we have the, a navy blue, which is called the Charlie. And obviously that is named after, my three and a half year old son now. So, that's the navy blue one. And then we have a pink one that's called the Livy, which is named after, our 1.5 year old daughter, Olivia. Mm-hmm. And then I also have a gray one called the Birdie, which is named after my grandpa, who passed away now, a year and a half ago. But he was a big staple at the, you know, the golf course that I grew up. The name Birdie, I found out more actually at his funeral that it's not really golf related of how he got the name, the, how he got the name, nickname Birdie.
Okay.
But still everybody associates it to golf for him. And he was, I mean, golf was a huge, huge part of his life. So I named that after my grandpa. And my grandpa, that bag is really important to me because after he passed away, I found out that he actually had some bonds for me, which, you know, it was back in like early 1990s. He bought these bonds and they were, you know, $500, I think, at the time. And then, you know, when he passed away, I cashed him out for, I think, a little over $1,000 or $1,200. Sure. And I put all that money actually into my first order of bags. So I wanted to use that money for something golf related. Yeah. That's sort of how, you know, part of it got funded early on.
Yeah. Tyler, do you still get to play a little bit? Sounds like maybe your son's getting you out to the range at least a little bit. What's that looking like for you on the kind of personal side?
Yeah. Currently right now, I really don't play that much. I get out. Yeah. With my son, we'll go to this like little, it's a really short course. It's almost like a par three course here in Mason City. Okay. It's perfect for taking him on out there, but like, I don't hit driver. Hit a few irons off the tee, you know, but it's a great area for a kid to learn the game is on one of those really, really small courses. And, so been playing there a little bit. And then, here at in Mason City, I'll play around like the area, a couple 9-hole golf courses, 18-hole golf course here in Mason City that I'll play every once in a while. Haven't played competitive really pretty much since college is concerned. So yeah, after college I didn't really play that much at all. But I've gotten back into a lot more over the last 5 years, and I go on buddies trips, you know, down to the Ozarks. And we ended up in the sand hills of Nebraska last year. So we went out that way for a buddy's trip at the Prairie Club, and it was awesome. I think I played whistling last year. I had a connection that got us on whistling. So like it sort of sparks it a little bit more to play, because I didn't, you know, you don't play that well when we don't play that much. You go to these very nice courses and you have high expectations usually don't meet them. So it sort of does fuel the fire to actually, you know, practice a little bit more and get out and play. And obviously now with my kids growing up too, we're going to be able to get out there a lot more often. And I want to make that a big part of their lives.
Awesome. Kind of a two-part question before we let you go, Tyler. You mentioned the wait list. Is that basically just kind of a pecking order as bags come available, kind of just down the line, and if you want one, you can get one. If not, you got more people waiting. Is that how that works? And then second part of that question is, if people are interested in this or want to find out some more about it, how do they need to go or where do they need to go for that?
Sure. So the wait list is actually, it's not a pecking order. So it's pretty much a
mailing sort of list like of sorts. Okay.
Free for all. Yeah. I didn't know that at the time of how to figure that all out, as far as you're the 50th person on the list, like giving them priority. So it is literally a mailing list that I give everybody first priority as far as early access before I, you know, do anything on Twitter or social media. I just try to give them a heads up, give them the link, the promo code, all that good stuff. And give them time. And then, it's been going very well for me, using that method right now. And then as far as if people want to learn more about it, the wait list is waitlist.charliegolfco.com. And then our main website is, charliegolfco.com, where the shop and the store is. So we have the golf bags there. We also have, we collaborated with a company out in the Northeast called Nowhere Easter Sticks, where we've partnered with them for 23-inch hickory alignment sticks that match the color of the bags. Okay. And it's one of those things where I always preach, like, you know, we're not trying to work on swing techniques, or we're not trying to do anything like that as far as what a three-year-old is trying to do on the golf course.
Right.
But I do think it's important to for a kid to know how to aim. So the alignment sticks come in that way, and then know how to hold a golf club. So the junior training grips are obviously a great tool as well. Other than that, it's more or less just getting them outside. you know, riding the golf cart, playing in the sand bunkers, playing with the divot repair stuff, sand, and just being outdoors and, you know, just getting introduced to the game of golf.
Got to have fun with it at that age, don't you?
100%. That's all. And I don't know if you've seen the Padraig Harrington clip from a few months ago. It's just absolutely fantastic. It's something I have bookmarked and I watch every once in a while. It's just a great piece of advice from Padraig and, you know, really relates to what we're doing here.
For sure. Well, Tyler, I appreciate you taking some time out of your day to come on the podcast. Best of luck with everything you're doing. That's pretty cool. And, you know, something here, right, that kind of got born right here in Iowa. So thanks again. And we'll see you down the trail.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
All right. Take care.